You are listening to InversoTasky, the Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 6, Episode 4. Overview.
Hello and welcome back. The title featured this time is another in a long line of excellent software from an excellent company. This one is a database, or as you'll find out, a file manager as they call it. The software we're talking about is Excellent Software's Megafiler. Let's hear it straight from the publisher. Megafiler is one of the most powerful information managers for your Atari. Megafiler is an easy-to-use database system for Atari computers with at least 48K. It incorporates menus and prompts which guide you through all the various functions with little need to look at the documentation. Extensive error checking and recovery is included to help with responses and data entry. Megafiler can be termed a file manager in that it manipulates a file of data and produces various reports and displays based on your criteria. Any type of information can be entered into Megafiler. For example, record collections.
What is a record?
Mailing addresses, tax receipts, financial records, and magazine articles. These files can then be searched to produce reports on your printer or display on your screen. Records can be added, updated, deleted, sorted, and modified. If you haven't guessed already or didn't pick up on what I said, this one is published by Excellent Incorporated. Excellent was discussed in depth in the early episodes of Season 4. Please review them for more information, specifically Episode 2, which featured First Excellent Word Processor.
Technical data.
Megafiler was released in 1984 and, as stated, was published by Excellent Incorporated. The programmer was Jerry Quitt. This required 48K of memory. Basic was not required. The price was $29.95 then, and today that equates to $75.98. The manual is 29 pages cover to cover. It's printed on 5.5 by 8.5 inch paper, double-sided on a dot matrix printer using the Atari system font. And it has judicious use of various effects like bold, underline, double width, bold, etc. In an odd twist, there are 46 characters per line. The text has full justification as well. An interesting note here is that the manual mentions how it was created. It was written with Atari Writer, then printed with Megafont 2 on a ProWriter printer. The front cover is light blue with dark blue print. At the top in large letters is Megafiler, which is centered, with a small copyright 1984 flushed right just underneath it. Slightly smaller than the title and just under the copyright, again centered, is by Jerry Quitt. Under that is a picture of at least 6 different multi-drawer file cabinets of varying capacity, with files poking out, drawer open, spider webs on some, a cat in one drawer hiding, you can just see his tail coming out, and 4 mice engaged in various activities. One mouse is reading a paper, another is sitting on the boss's coffee mug, another is mountain climbing up the side of the cabinet, and the last is laughing on the floor.
I guess he is ROFL?
There is a top secret sticker across one drawer, which is obviously where all life's answers are kept. And in the bottom left corner is the Excellent Software logo with address printed underneath. And in the bottom right corner is the price in the same font as the title and the author's credit. For packaging, the package is a 6x9 single fold vinyl folder. On the front inner fold is a sleeve which holds the disc. And on the back inner fold is a sleeve which holds the staple-bound manual, very similar to their other releases. The disc is copy-protected.
Usage notes.
First, if you have 2 drives, use them. Put your data disc in drive 2 and your program disc in drive 1. This will make life easier by not having to swap discs over and over and over and over. Once you boot the program, it goes straight into a menu with the following options. Disk directory. Guess what this does? Yep, it prints the contents to the screen. You can choose between drives 1 through 4. There's a DOS functions menu, which includes format disk, erase file, rename file, lock file, unlock file, etc. An interesting note here is functions is spelled incorrectly. It's F-U-N-T-I-O-N-S. There is a contents function. This displays the definition of a database and shows the names, links, and types of fields. The next menu option is New Database. And this is where you create a new database, so start here. You can have up to 15 fields of character or numeric data. Each field has a maximum of 90 characters, and a maximum record length is 255 characters, so you have to manage that space across the total number of fields in use. When creating a new database, you are asked for a name, which can only be the first 8 characters. When naming the database, you can use &exit as the name to quit. After the name, enter the drive number on which to store it. When defining fields, you can specify the name, length, and type. Field names can be 2 to 12 characters long. Types supported are char for character, num for number, and dol for dollar. Field names appear in inverse video when entered. Fields can vary in length except for dollar, which are always 13. If you exceed the maximum record size, you have the opportunity to change the lengths. To complete field entry, use &exit as the field name. At this point, you can save or redo it. If you save it, it is created and you're asked if you want to enter data. If you choose to do so, it loads the Enter Data program. If you choose not to enter data, you go back to the main menu. And the next menu option is Enter Data. This allows you to specify repeating fields to speed data entry and has a formula option to calculate a numeric field. So first you enter the 8-character database name and the drive number to get started, and it will show you the definition, then ask if you have a formula to enter. The formulas can be used to perform a mathematical operation on 2 fields and store the result in a 3rd field. They can also be self-referencing except for storage. Formulas support your basic math, add, subtract, multiply, and divide, exponents, negatives, parentheses, and equal. If you muck up the formula and get a syntax error, you can correct it. You can also specify a field to be repeating, meaning it will retain its value from one record to the next. When entering data, you press return after each entry. If you enter invalid or too much data for a field, you get an error message. If you skip a character field, no entry, it gets a value assigned asterisk. Likewise, numeric fields will default to 0. Once all fields are entered, the record is displayed and you are asked to save or redo it. You exit the data entry by entering &exit in the first field. If you plan on printing labels with the data at a later time, ensure that you do not use 2 consecutive spaces in any field's data that you wish to print. If you do, it will cause misalignment of the data because that sequence is used as an alignment flag. When you're done entering data, it will ask you if you want to retrieve data. If you choose yes, it loads the Access Database program. There's an important note here. Never, ever use %% as part of value in any of your field data because the modified database looks for this pattern to delete records. The program will gracefully handle running out of room on a disk and automatically create it on a new data disk. However, these are separate databases and will simply have the same definition, so it won't search across disks. The next menu option is Access Database. This retrieves records to display on the screen or printer. It allows you to edit records, make global changes to an entire file, or delete records. All actions are performed based on search criteria that you specify. You enter the 8-character database name and the drive number to get started. And like with the entry option, it will show you the definition. Then you'll be asked to select a retrieval key. This is one of the fields in the database used for fast searching results. You also specify how many positions of the key to match on. This more or less selects a base set of records from the database. For version 2 of the program, you are given an opportunity to load an index at this point. Indexes are created with the Sort Database feature, which is available in that version. The index can alter the order in which records are returned from the database. Next, you select a long search criteria. This is where you specify in detail which records to find by field. Ensure you don't exceed the number of characters selected by the key length if you set criteria on a key field. Key fields in the search criteria support 7 relational operators, which you are given the option to select. Those operators are: number 1 is equal, 2 is the less than value, 3 is greater than value, 4 is greater than equal to value, 5 is less than equal to value, 6 is greater than, less than, or not equal to value, and 7 is greater than equal to and less than equal to, or between values. You can think of this criteria as a subsearch or search within the key result set. You can cancel long searches throughout the program by pressing C. Now all the matching records are displayed, and if more data is presented than will fit on the screen, you are prompted to press Select to view the rest of it. After each match, a small menu of 3 options is presented. Press Option to get the Access Database internal menu. Press Select to continue the search, if you're not at the end of the database. And press Start to change the search criteria. The internal menu has 7 options, which allow you to change the key for the database, sort the key either ascending or descending, edit a record, delete a record, repeat the search, perform a global change one field in every record, or quit, which takes you back to the main menu. Always use quit or risk data corruption. Back on the main menu, the next option is report generator. This lets you define the order of fields to be printed, some numeric fields, subtotal on key field change, automatically format the printed report, and search for records within the criteria you specify. This starts out just like Access Database by entering the database name and drive number and retrieval key, though here you have the additional option of sorting the retrieval key. Next, you are asked for search criteria, just like with Access Database. And you also specify a report title, which can be up to 50 characters, and it can consist of any character. You can also specify a date. If you don't want a date, no problem. Use this as a subtitle line, which can have up to 30 characters. If you want neither, just hit return. You will then specify the fields you want on the report. Use ampersand exit to complete field entry. The field names are used as column headings, so this is something to consider when naming fields. When selecting fields, keep in mind that you can only print up to 132 characters per line, which includes 4 characters between each column. You have the option of totaling numeric fields. You also have the option to subtotal on the key field as it changes during the report. These fields are totaled with 9 significant digits and 2 decimals. Note that numeric types may not line properly when totaled, whereas dollar types will always be in alignment. Last, you have the option of entering printer codes if you have a report with lines over 80 characters. You will need to give your printers compressed print codes here. These are entered one at a time with a return between each line. When done, enter PRT to complete the entry. After the report is complete, a small menu gives you a few options. Use R to generate a new report, use K to change the key or database, and use M to get back to the main menu. Back on the main menu, the label generator comes next, and this prints labels from the database with up to 3 fields per line in any order. You can also print personal labels with up to 10 lines of information. This starts just like the report generator. You have a choice of generating personal labels. If you choose no, they will be regular labels. A personal label is up to 10 lines of information, which will be printed exactly as entered. When done entering text, use ampersand exit to signal the completion. You have a choice of how many lines to include between labels as well. Additionally, you can specify how many labels to print. After printing is complete, you are asked if there are more. If you say yes, it will return to how many labels. Otherwise, enter no to exit. If you said no to personal label prompt, then you are printing regular labels, and these are pulled from the database. You enter your criteria just as you would with the Access database, then you select your fields to print. And there can be up to 3 per line with a minimum of 1. Like the rest, you use ampersand exit to quit the entry. You also specify the number of lines between labels, and at this point it will print a test label and ask if the alignment is okay. Once the labels are printed, you get a more labels prompt, just like with personal labels, and it works the same way. When you select no more labels, a small menu is readied. Use L to print new labels with different search criteria. Use K to change the retrieval key of the database, and use M to return to the main menu. And from the main menu, the next option is Modify Database, which allows you to redefine the database by adding, changing, and deleting fields, as well as altering field names. This starts like the rest. You enter the database name and drive, just like those. Then a small command line appears with 5 options: add, delete, rename, length, and exit. Add is used to add a new field, and the same field rules apply as create. Delete is used to delete a field. This will remove all data in that field for all records in the database. Rename is used to rename a field. Here you specify the old name and the new name. Length is used to alter a field's length. Keep in mind the field rules of 90 characters and the record max size of 255 characters still apply. If you shorten one, data in the field will be truncated. Exit is used to exit the menu. You will be asked if you want to save any changes you made. If you made any add, delete, or length changes, the database needs to be rewritten and will require an additional drive. A third drive is handy here. New versions of the database will be named dbtemp and will consist of 2 files, the database file and the definition file. You will have to rename them in DOS. And back on the main menu, if you have version 2, there is an additional option called Sort Database. This allows you to create an index for sorting records, and it can be used during Access Database function to retrieve records in a specific order. It starts much the same. You enter the database name and drive, just like the other functions. Then the database definition is displayed, and you enter each field to sort on one by one and specify the length of precision for them. And you use ampersand exit to stop. Then you're asked for an index file name and drive number to hold it. And here's a free tip for you. The system reset will cause the computer to reinitialize itself and erase memory. Only hit this key if you have nothing to lose. I want to talk about errors for a second. The manual describes different errors you might receive, which is a nice touch. Most of the errors will be handled by the program. If it can't handle it, it will spit an error saying irrecoverable error and have a number, and then it says line and has a number, with the first number being the actual error number, and the second number being the line where it occurred. So at this point, the error should be in the range of 128 to 171, which are DOS errors. And you can look these up in your DOS manual. If it keeps happening, Excellent asks that you document the procedure to reproduce it and then send it to them. For errors that are in the range of 1 to 40, except for number 5, they are unexpected and fatal. Again, Excellent asks you to document the procedure to reproduce it and send it to them. For error number 5, it means that there is a record count mismatch between the definition file and the database itself. This is generally caused by you, apparently, by entering data and leaving improperly, so don't do it. Always exit the individual programs properly. And we can talk about files for just a second as well. The DOS supplied on the disk is OSS DOS XL 2.30X. It supports disks formatted with Atari DOS only. And each database has 2 files. One is the data itself, the other is the definition. The definition file has a .frm extension, and if you delete the FRM file, kiss your database goodbye. If you sort the database, any indexes you create will have the IDX extension.
Fun factoids.
We have a few fun facts to discuss here. The first is Portions are copyright optimized system software, Inc., specifically the runtime package. When booting, you can see Basic XL load just before the program, so it must be written in Basic XL. The version reported is 1.00. And speaking of versions, the date on most of the utilities is January 1984. The sort utility is October 1984. A mere 9 months later, netted version 2. Next, as with the other excellent titles, Jennifer Brabson created the cover art. The next one is the manual has ads in the back for the following products: Megafont 2, which was used to print the manual, Dungeons, Dragons, and Other Perils by James Hurd, Hypnotism with Brainwave Synchronization by Gene P. Levine, Mode Mixer 1 and 2 by Margie Bliss and Jerry Quitt, and Camp C.A.M.P. by Johnny Masuda. And these are all available titles from Excellent Software. And the last fun fact is you could get a special double density version of the disk as well. You just needed to send $10 in for the disk.
Summary.
I wasn't sure what to expect with this database, especially after their own description. This product is pretty easy to use. Only minor quibbles were learning to use the retrieval key and search criteria effectively. But once learned, the power Megafiler offers really sets itself off. With version 2, it even gives you a powerful indexer whose indexes can be used in conjunction with the retrieval and search criteria. Once I got used to it, I almost equated it with using DBase databases. Very powerful indeed. All aspects of the program accomplish what they need to do, and are generally pretty easy to use. Being written in Basic XL, I thought it would be slower than it actually is. It actually runs pretty quick, at least with the limited data sets that I entered. Database creation was easy enough. I would like to have seen a Boolean field, and I guess you can accomplish the same thing with a single character. I think a Boolean field would help with preventing data entry errors if a restriction was placed on the input keys allowed, like yes or no or true or false. Not a showstopper by any means. Data entry could use a few tweaks, but it gets the job done. Data entry allows for calculations to be used with a user-specified formula. You can reference any of the numeric fields and perform a multitude of operations on them. The only disappointment is that you can't use any static values. So what? Well, say you want to compute a number of minutes based on hours and minutes entered. You can't say hours divided by 60 plus minutes to get the total length in minutes. Other things come to mind as well, like sales tax. You can get around this, but it comes at the expense of database storage. I set a repeating field for minutes per hour with the value of 60. Then I could reference that field as the static. The only problem with this method is that you need to remember to set the repeating value during each data entry session, so keep a notepad handy. Same goes for formulas. It doesn't remember these either between data entry sessions. And the lack of remembering these is probably the biggest downfall. The report generator is pretty powerful. It's very versatile. And not only can you specify the fields you want to print in the order you want to print them, but you can also generate totals for numeric fields and subtotals based on key field changes. The latter works best when using a database index previously sorted on the key or using an ad hoc sort mechanism provided. When performing totals on key change, you must have specified the full key length in the search key condition, otherwise it won't work. But the grand total still will. There were some issues with the report generator that could have used some resolution prior to shipping the product. Notably, when selecting numeric fields to total, you enter the field and the prompt comes back in the same place with no message saying it was added, and no indication in the database definition at the top that it flagged it as totaled. On the contrary, when selecting key fields and fields for the report, they are both flagged. Key fields are flagged with an asterisk next to them. Report fields are flagged with an asterisk next to the field type. This is a visual cue, and a visual cue on this would do wonders. Excellent included a label generator as well, but only for single column labels. This is useful if you want to print mailing labels from an address database. The label maker also allows you to print your own custom labels, not based on any database, but you still have to specify a database to get to it. Here, what you print and how you print is completely up to you, including placement and centering. You can print any number of the exact same label. I guess this was kind of a freebie capability they included, as I don't see much use for it in the program's context. All in all, I came away pretty impressed with Megafiler. And for some reason, while I was making show notes, every time I type Megafiler, I always wanted to type Megafilter. So what did I like about Megafiler? First, the report generator. This, in fact, may be its single most shining point, one of the most versatile report generators I've encountered thus far. Next, sorting capabilities. The ability to set sort definitions across multiple fields with varying degrees of precision is also pretty unique for this platform in 1984. More power than most home consumers need, but definitely makes it more useful. What did I not like about it? First, the labels use two consecutive spaces as an alignment marker. If your data has two spaces, it messes up the alignment. There are plenty of other non-printable characters available, and one of those should have been used instead. Next, data entry is terminated with ampersand exit in most instances. A simpler signal would have been nice, like Control E for end. And last, the modified database leaves the database in a state where you need to rename it in DOS. This could be prevented by simply asking for the new name. From a 1984 perspective, would I use it? Maybe. While I don't particularly care for the menu system, the sorting and report generation features are extremely well done, making this database more versatile than many of its competitors. From a retro perspective, would I use Megafiler? Probably not. The record size is limited to 255 bytes, which severely limits its capabilities. Imagine trying to save URLs in a database and see how quickly it would prevent many other fields from being added to the same record. As for the bit rating, I'm going to give it a full 8 bits here without a doubt. And while there are some minor quips with various aspects of the program, the report generation, sorting, and powerful search more than make up for its deficiencies.
Special thanks.
All right, first I want to thank you, the listener, for your patience and the time it takes me to get these out, and also for continuing to listen. I want to thank WizWars for the awesome chiptune 8-Bit Raceway, which is used as part of the intro music. And as always, if you have any comments, you can email me with inverseataski@icloud.com. And don't forget to rate the podcast on iTunes, as it will help others with similar mindset find it. Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye.